okay? Brand new, look at that, huh? Praise the Lord, huh? I got a stringy thingy going here. Cool. I was glad you guys could make it tonight. This is kind of an interesting day. This is kind of a crux of our faith, you know what I'm saying? And it was just really on my heart that we need to do something for a Good Friday. I've heard it called Black Friday, and it kind of is. It's a Black Friday. I think we just need to stop, take some breaths, and just slow down just a little bit. Because what our Lord Jesus Christ suffered on this day, it's not pretty. It wasn't nice. It was very painful. The Lord Jesus Christ, when he was on this earth, talked about how much he loved us. And he proved his love. He showed his love by what he went through on that cross. And that's what I want. We need to remember that. We're going to tie this in tonight. I want to tie this in with communion. We take communion every Sunday. We need to come to a point where we understand what that communion really means. And that's where this goes. That's where this comes from. That's where the Lord implemented the Last Supper. Today, Jewish festival starts of Passover, goes through April 27th, and they celebrate their liberation from Egypt. And it starts it. Tonight starts it. And they had to sacrifice a lamb on this day, the start of the Passover. And our Lord Jesus Christ, God, sacrificed his special, precious lamb, spotless, sinless lamb, on this day. That's how we tie in together with the Jewish rituals and feasts. I just want to take a few minutes and just look at that. I'm going to start with prayer. The praise team has some pretty awesome singing going on. We're going to listen to that. And we just want to just kind of make this an intimate time between you and God, you and Lord Jesus Christ. I want to show you what he suffered and what he went through. And he did that for you, each and every one of us. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, as we come around your table this morning, or this evening, we have to stop. We just need to take a breath. It's a fast jaunt from today until Easter Sunday. And we like to look at the Easter Sunday, and that's an awesome time. That's powerful. And we just love that. But Father, we have to stop here on Good Friday, the first day of Passover. Father, look at what you suffered and what you went through on that cross. Father, everything tied in around that. We just impress it upon our hearts, impress it upon our minds, Father, that we can just get a better grasp of what you went through and the debt you paid for each and every one of us, that we can stand here, sit here this evening, and just know that you are our Lord and our Savior. Father, we just thank you and we praise you for it. Father, in your precious name we pray. Amen. Thank you.
grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear, the hour I first believed. Through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. 'Twas grace that brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me home. When we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun. We've no less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun.
The splendor
That definitely blessed me, guys. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Don't get to sit and listen to them very often. They sound good, don't they? It's kind of hard not to get a little excited because you're in the house of the Lord, and you know what I mean? It's like, how great is our God? How great is our God? He's so great that He can humble Himself and become a man, come to this earth. That's something. What caused Him to do that? You? You're the reason. You know that? You're the reason. And I just wanted to, I was trying to think how to bring this all together, but I think the best way to do this is just to read you the story out of the Bible. I think that's going to be the best way to do it. I'm looking at it this week, and I want to tie some scriptures together here and try to read this, and I guess in your mind's eye, maybe just try to look and see what our Lord and Savior, what He went through that night. When you have troubles in your life, trials and tribulations and problems, He had them too. I want you to just listen to this. And I'll try to read through it here. I don't want to take too much of your time, but I like you to just listen to this. And we're going to start with the Lord's Supper, because when we're done here, we're going to offer a time of communion. And we'd like to, if you want to take communion as a family, together, come up and do communion. I think that's going to be a really nice time for just families. And just be a family, take communion together when we're done, okay? We'll get to there. I'm going to start in Matthew 26. It says, "Now on the first day of unleavened bread, Passover week, the disciples came to Jesus and said to Him, 'Where do you wish us to prepare for you to eat the Passover supper?' He said, 'Go into the city to a certain man and say to him, "The Master says, my time is near. I will keep the Passover at your house with my disciples." And accordingly the disciples did as Jesus had directed them, and they made ready the Passover supper. When it was evening, He was reclining at the table with His 12 disciples. And as they were eating, He said, "Solemnly I say to you, one of you will betray me." They were exceedingly pained and distressed and deeply hurt and sorrowful, and began to say to one another after another, "Surely it cannot be I, Lord, can it?" And Jesus replied, "He who has just dipped his hand in the same dish with me will betray me. The Son of Man is going just as is written of him, but woe, woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been better for that man if he had never been born." Judas the betrayer said, "Surely it is not I, is it, Master?" And Jesus said to him, "You have stated the fact." Now as they were eating, Jesus took bread and, praising God, gave thanks and asked him to bless it to their use. When He had broken it, He gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." And He took a cup. When He had given thanks, He gave it to them, saying, "Drink of this, all of you, for this is my blood of the new covenant, which ratifies the agreement and is being poured out for the many for the forgiveness of sins. I say to you, I shall not drink again of this fruit of the vine till the day when I drink it with you new in my Father's kingdom." And when they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. And He came out and went, as was His habit, to the Mount of Olives, and the disciples also followed Him. When He had come to the place, He said to them, "Pray that you may not enter into temptation." And He withdrew from them about a stone's throw and knelt down and prayed, saying, "Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me, yet not my will, but always yours be done." There appeared to Him an angel from heaven, strengthening Him in spirit. And being in an agony of mind, He prayed all the more earnestly and intently, and His sweat became like great clots of blood dripping down upon the ground. And when He got up from the prayer, He came to the disciples and found them sleeping from grief. And He said to them, "Why do you sleep? Get up and pray that you may not enter into temptation. And Judas, who was betraying him and delivering him up, also knew the place, because Jesus had often retired there with his disciples. So Judas, obtaining and taking charge of a band of soldiers and some guards of the high priest and Pharisees, came there with lanterns and torches and weapons. Then Jesus, knowing all that was about to befall him, went out to them and said, "Whom do you seek?" They answered him, "Jesus the Nazarene." Jesus said to them, "I am he." Judas, who was also betraying him, was also standing with them. When Jesus said to them, "I am he," they went backwards and fell to the ground. Then again he asked them, "Whom are you seeking?" And they said, "Jesus the Nazarene." Jesus answered, "I told you that I am he. So if you want me, let these men go their way." Thus what he had said was fulfilled and verified, "Of those whom you have given me, I have not lost even one." Then Simon Peter, who had a sword, drew it and struck the high priest's servant and cut off his right ear. The servant's name was Malchus. Therefore Jesus said to Peter, "Put the sword back into its sheath. The cup which my Father has given me to drink, shall I not drink it?" So the troops and their captain and guards of the Jews seized Jesus and bound him. And they brought him first to Annas, for he was father-in-law to Caiaphas, who was the high priest that year. It was Caiaphas who had counseled the Jews, and that it was and said that it was expedient and for their welfare that one man should die for the people. Now Simon Peter and another disciple were following Jesus, and that disciple was known to the high priest, and so he entered along with Jesus into the court of the place of the high priest. But Peter was standing outside at the door, so the other disciple who was known to the high priest went out and spoke to the maid who kept the door and brought Peter inside. Then the maid who was in charge of the door said to Peter, "You are not also one of his disciples, this man, are you?" Peter said, "I am not." Now the servants and the guards had made a fire of coals, for it was cold, and they were standing and warming themselves. And Peter was with them, standing and warming himself. Then the high priest questioned Jesus about his disciples and about his teaching. Jesus answered him, "I have spoken openly to the world. I have always taught in the synagogue and in the temple where the Jews congregate. I have spoken nothing secretly. Why do you ask me? Ask those who have heard me what I said to them. See, they know what I said." But when he said this, one of the attendants who stood by struck Jesus, saying, "Is that how you answer the high priest?" Jesus replied, "If I have spoken anything wrong, if there was evil in what I said, tell what was wrong with it. But if I spoke rightly and properly, why do you strike me?" Then Annas sent him bound to Caiaphas the high priest. But Simon Peter was standing, was warming himself, and they said to him, "You're not also one of his disciples, are you?" He denied it and said, "I am not." One of the high priest's servants, a relative of the man whose ear Peter had cut off, said, "Did I not see you in the garden with him?" And again Peter denied it, and immediately a rooster crowed. Then they brought Jesus from Caiaphas into the praetorium. It was early. They themselves did not enter the praetorium, that they might not be defiled, but might be fit to eat the Passover. So Pilate went out to them and said, "What accusation do you bring against this man?" They retorted, "If he were not an evildoer, we would not have handed him over to you." Pilate said to them, "Take him yourselves and judge and sentence and punish him according to your own law." The Jews answered, "It is not lawful for us to put anyone to death." This was to fulfill the word which Jesus had spoken, to show by what manner of death he was to die. So Pilate went back again into the judgment hall and called Jesus and asked him, "Are you the King of the Jews?" Jesus replied, "Are you saying this of yourself, or have others told you about me?" Pilate answered, "Am I a Jew? Your own people and nation, their chief priests, have delivered you to me. What have you done?" Jesus answered, "My kingdom belongs not to this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my followers would have been fighting to keep me from being handed over to the Jews. But as it is, my kingdom is not from here." Pilate said to him, "Then you are a king." Jesus answered, "You said it. You speak correctly, for I am a king. Certainly I am a king, born a king. I am a king. This is why I was born. For this I have come into the world, to bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth, belongs to the truth, hears and listens to my voice." Pilate said to him, "What is truth?" On saying this, he went out to the Jews again and told them, "I find no fault in him, but it is your custom that I release one prisoner for you at the Passover. So shall I release for you the King of the Jews?" Then they all shouted back again, "Not him, not this man, but Barabbas." Now Barabbas was a robber. So then Pilate took Jesus and whipped him. And the soldiers, having twisted a crown of thorns, put it on his head and threw a purple cloak around him. And they kept coming to him, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews." And they struck him with the palms of their hands. Then Pilate went out again and said to them, "See, I bring him out to you so that you may know that I find no fault in him." So Jesus came out wearing the thorny crown and purple cloak. And Pilate said to them, "See, here is the man." When the chief priests and the attendants saw him, they cried out, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" Pilate said to them, "Take him yourself and crucify him, for I find no fault in him." The Jews answered him, "We have a law, and according to that law he should die, because he has claimed and made himself out to be the Son of God." So when Pilate heard this, he was more alarmed and afraid than before. He went into the judgment hall again and said to Jesus, "Where are you from?" But Jesus did not answer him. So Pilate said to him, "Will you not speak even to me? Do you not know that I have power to release you and I have power to crucify you?" Jesus answered, "You would not have any power or authority whatsoever against me if it were not given to you from above. For this reason, the sin and guilt of the one who delivered me over to you is greater." Upon this, Pilate wanted to release him, but the Jews kept shrieking, "If you release this man, you are no friend to Caesar. Anybody who makes himself out to be a king sets him up against Caesar." Hearing this, Pilate brought Jesus out and sat down on the judgment seat at a place called the pavement, in Hebrew, Gabbatha. It was the day of preparation for the Passover, and it was about the sixth hour. It was about 12 o'clock noon. He said to the Jews, "See, here is your king." But they shouted, "Away with him! Away with him! Crucify him!" Pilate said to them, "Crucify your king?" The chief priests answered, "We have no king but Caesar." Then he delivered him over to them to be crucified. And they took Jesus and led him away. So he went out, bearing his own cross, to the spot called the place of the skull. In the Hebrew it is called Golgotha. There they crucified him, with him two others, one on either side, and Jesus between them. One of the criminals who was suspended kept up a railing accusation at him, saying, "Are you not the Christ? Rescue yourself and us." But the other one reproved him, saying, "Do you not even fear God, seeing you yourself are under the same sentence of condemnation and suffering the same penalty? And we indeed suffer as justly, receiving the due reward of our actions, but this man has done nothing out of the way." Then he said to Jesus, "Lord, remember me when you come into your kingly glory." And Jesus answered him, saying, "Truly, I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise." And those who passed by him kept reviling him, reproaching him abusively in harsh and insolent language, wagging their heads and saying, "Aha! You who would destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, now rescue yourself. Come down from the cross." So also the chief priests with the scribes made sport of him to one another, saying, "He rescued others. Himself he is unable to rescue. Let the Christ, the King of Israel, come down now from the cross, that we may see it and trust in and rely on him." Those who were crucified with him also reviled and reproached him, speaking abusively, harshly to him. And when the sixth hour, about midday, had come, there was a darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour, about 3 o'clock. And at the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, "Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani," which means, my God, why have you forsaken me?" And some of those standing by, hearing it, said, "See, he is calling Elijah." And one man ran and, filling a sponge with vinegar, put it on a staff made of bamboo reed and gave it to him to drink, saying, "Hold off, let us see whether Elijah does come to take him down." And Pilate also wrote a title and a scripture on a placard, and he put it on the cross, and the writing was, "Jesus the Nazarene, the King of the Jews." And many of the Jews read this title, for the place where Jesus was crucified was near the city, and it was written in Hebrew and in Latin and in Greek. And the chief priests of the Jews said to Pilate, "Do not write 'the King of the Jews,' but he said, 'I am the King of the Jews.'" Pilate replied, "What I have written, I have written." Then the soldiers, when they had crucified Jesus, took his garments and made 4 parts, 1 share for each soldier, and also the tunic. But the tunic was seamless, woven in 1 piece from the top throughout. So they said to one another, "Let us not tear it, but let us cast lots to decide whose it shall be." This was to fulfill the scripture, "They parted my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots." So the soldiers did these things. But by the cross of Jesus stood his mother, his mother's sister, Mary the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. So Jesus, seeing his mother there, and the disciples whom he loved standing near, said to his mother, "Dear woman, see, here is your son." Then he said to the disciples, "See, here is your mother." And from that hour, the disciple took her into his own home. After this, Jesus, knowing that all was now finished, said in fulfillment of the scripture, "I thirst." A vessel full of sour wine was placed there. So they put a sponge soaked in the sour wine on a stalk of hyssop and held it to his mouth. When Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, "It is finished." And he bowed his head, and gave up his spirit, said, Father, into my hand, into thy hand I commit my spirit. And he died. Since it was the day of preparation, in order to prevent the bodies from hanging on the cross on the Sabbath, for that Sabbath was a very solemn and important one, the Jews requested Pilate to have the legs broken and the bodies taken away. So the soldiers came and broke the legs of the first one and of the other one who had been crucified with him. But when they came to Jesus and they thought that he was already dead, they did not break his legs. But one of the soldiers pierced his side with a spear, and immediately blood and water flowed out. And he who saw it, the eyewitness, gives this evidence, and his testimony is true. He knows that he tells the truth, that you may believe also. For these things took place that the scripture might be fulfilled, not one of his bones shall be broken. And again another scripture says, they shall look on him whom they have pierced. And after this, Joseph of Arimathea, a disciple of Jesus, but secretly, for fear of the Jews, asked Pilate to let him take him away, the body of Jesus. And Pilate granted him permission, so he came and took away his body. And Nicodemus also, who at first had come to Jesus by night, came bringing a mixture of myrrh and aloes, weighing about 100 weight pounds. So they took Jesus' body and bound it in linen cloths with the spices, as is the Jews' customary way to prepare for burial. There was a garden in the place where he was crucified, and in the garden a new tomb in which no one had ever yet been laid. So there, because of the Jewish day of preparation, since the tomb was nearby, they laid Jesus. There was a great stone rolled in front of the tomb. The chief priests, because they felt that his disciples would come and steal his body, they placed guards at that tomb all night, so nobody could steal the body of Jesus. Our Lord and Savior was in the grave, by all accounts, dead. Dead. You come to this time, come to the Lord's table. This is the Lord's table. He implemented it with his disciples the night he was killed. It's hard to imagine someone loving you that much, isn't it? It's hard to imagine. But he did. It's not the end of the story. Isn't that awesome? We know what's coming. Sunday's coming. But tonight, very fitting, we have a rain, gloomy day. Impressed upon me all day how God must have felt when he had to send his son to pay our price for us, for me. Come around the Lord's table tonight. I think it'd be really nice if you guys would do the Lord's table as a family. If you want to come forward, do the Lord's table as a family. I think that'd be really cool. I just want you to realize and understand the importance of the bread. It was his body which was broken, beaten, slapped, spit upon, pierced side with his spear. He did that for you. When you take the bread, that's what that signifies. And he did that for you, for your healing, for your physical body. And then the cup signifies his blood. That blood that was poured out, every last drop. When that soldier pierced his side and the water and blood ran out, that was the last drop. That blood covers your sin. When Christ was hanging on the cross, he knew your name. He knew your name. And he went, paid the price for you. I'm just going to open up. You guys can come forward anytime you want. As family, if you want to do communion together.